Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast. Author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions we all have about hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead, it should inspire us to use our time on earth wisely.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are answering the question, how does God feel for those in hell? You know, there are some scriptures we will look at that indicate God will not mourn for everyone that enters hell. Now, in a general sense, he is grieved to see any of his creation go to hell. He gave his life on the cross and paid the price for our sins so that no one has to go there if they repent. Now, we know that in Ezekiel 33:11, it says, God said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? Then in addition, we know that John 3:16 states, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loves everyone, and his desire is that everyone will receive his gift of salvation. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
I love those verses. It's, you know, God's heart is not really how religion paints it at all,
That's right.
So many times. And just look at his attitude, God's attitude, even in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 5:1 says, Run up and down every street, says the Lord. Look high and low. Search throughout the city. If you can find even one just and honest person, I will not destroy the city. And then again in Jeremiah 8, verses 4 and 5, he said, When they discover they're on the wrong road, don't they turn back? Then why do these people stay on their self-destructive path? Why do the people refuse to turn back, even though I've warned them? And lastly, I'm just going to read Lamentations 3:33 says, For God does not enjoy hurting people or causing them sorrow. The Lord has no pleasure in allowing punishment.
Right, so that's God's heart. That's his general feeling about people in general. He loves everyone, gave his life for everyone. But because God is love and is compassionate, many think that he will weep for all those who are condemned to hell. However, since there are some people who are so full of wickedness, the scripture indicates that he will not shed a tear as they are cast into hell. And here's some verses. Proverbs 1:26-28 says, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear comes as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me.
Wow, that's a scary verse, you know, and I'm sure that's after God has warned them over and over and over.
Right.
You know, and we know that God doesn't laugh in a cruel way. And this next commentary explains God's attitude further. And that's Believer's Bible Commentary, page 795. It says about that verse, If we think of laughter as containing any trace of cruelty, malice, or vindictiveness, no, it expresses how ludicrous and ridiculous for a mere man to defy the omnipotent sovereign, as if a gnat should defy a blast furnace.
That's right.
Right?
Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And Psalms 37:13 says, The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. And Jeremiah 13:14 says, I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them.
Right, that's strong.
And that's strong. And there are some so wicked that I can see how God would express himself that way.
Right.
Totally. Because I know I feel that way when I see people who are so reprobate, they're never going to repent. They're just continually doing evil against others.
Right. Hurting people
and children. You would just want to see them gone.
Right.
Gone into hell. Like David said, that they would go down quickly into hell.
That's right. That's what he said.
Ezekiel 7:4 says, And mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity. And James 2:13 says, For he shall have judgment without mercy. So there are some that do. And Revelation 14:10 states, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation."
Boy, God's wrath is poured out in full strength, other commentaries and Bibles state, full strength against those who worship the Antichrist. Now, that doesn't sound like God will shed a tear for those. You know, all of humanity is considered wicked in God's eyes because all humans sin and are born in sin, as Psalms 51, 1 through 5 states. 1 John 5:19 says, "The whole world lies in wickedness." And then Psalms 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." And then Ecclesiastes 3:17 says, "God shall judge the righteous and the wicked."
So, Bill, all of us are automatically considered wicked from those scriptures, and we're destined for hell.
That's right, because we're born in sin.
And in God's eyes, a wicked person is one who rejects Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And John 3:18 says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God."
That's right. So, see, people are not, they're condemned already because we're born in sin. You know, that's what the verse is saying. Now, there are those who reject the gospel, but in a general sense are not full of wickedness. These, I believe, God will be saddened as they are cast into hell.
And you saw that, right, Bill, with Jesus?
I did. I saw people falling one after another back down this whirlwind tunnel that we came out of hell. And he allowed me to feel peace of his heart. And he actually did weep in the anguish he felt for these people falling into hell that rejected him. You know, he gave his life so they wouldn't have to go there, yet here they are, and he has to watch them fall into hell. You know, so I believe he does weep for some, but some of these absolutely wicked people that have done such evil, and he's tried to reach throughout their life, and they continually do more and more evil, I believe that he won't shed a tear for some of those.
Yes, but probably the majority he does weep over. I would guess,
right? Right, exactly. You know, like I said, there are some that are extremely evil, and he will not, it will not provoke that response in God to weep, you know? And these next verses show there are degrees of evil. Romans 1:29 says, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers, gossipers." So in other words, they're filled with all unrighteousness.
Yeah, that's
so there's
a
different degree.
That's good.
Luke 11:39 says, "But your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." And then Leviticus 19:29 says, "And the land became full of wickedness." Again, full. In Luke 6:11 it says, "And they were filled with madness." This is when Jesus healed the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath. The Pharisees didn't care a bit for the man that he was healed to rejoice with him, but rather were so furious about their rule being broken. That's an unbelievable evil and wickedness that those men possessed. They were filled with madness even. That's how upset they were, Jesus. Filled with madness.
And isn't that amazing, too, that Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," on the cross. I mean, so even though somebody really, really wicked like this, even if they did something to any of us, we still have to forgive them.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because of what God has forgiven us.
Exactly.
You know, and we know there are greater sins because Jesus said to Pilate in John 19:11, "He that delivered me unto thee has the greater sin." So there are degrees of evil within a person. And some of the worst, as you said, Bill, are the Pharisees, the religious Pharisees. They were hypocrites. And a hypocrite is one who acts as if they care for the people, but are actually forming laws or have an agenda to harm and deceive people. They are worse than those who commit blatant evil. And Jesus had many scathing remarks to say to the hypocrites in Matthew 23 and elsewhere.
That's right. You know, in Matthew 24:51, he said, "And he shall cut him in pieces and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's an interesting verse. So he's showing hypocrites are like some of the worst. In addition to the hypocrites, there are the haters, bloodthirsty, murderers, and those who abuse children. And Jesus said in Matthew 18:6, "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Well, that doesn't sound like God would shed a tear for them.
Exactly. That's so true. And these next verses show that the Lord hates evil and what the evil person has become. So he hates what that person has become. In Psalms 5:6, it says, "The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man." Hosea 9:15 says, "For there I hated them." Leviticus 26:30 states, "And my soul shall abhor you." And Psalms 11:5 says, "Him that loveth violence, his soul hateth."
Right. So that's God saying this. You know, there are many wrath scriptures that do not indicate God will weep over everyone. And here are a few. Psalms 21:9 says, "Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thy anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them." Isaiah 63:3, "I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury." Isaiah 66:15, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire." Jeremiah 30:23, "Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked." Ezekiel 7:9, "Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee and accomplish my anger. My eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity." Nahum 1:6, "Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire." And one more verse, Zephaniah 1:14 and 15 says, "The great day of the Lord is near. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, trouble, distress, wasteness, and desolation." Now, that sounds pretty strong, these verses. So.
Yes, and it, you know, during the Great Tribulation, Bill, it makes me think about when Jesus begins to open the scrolls with all the judgment of God, and the, it says the wrath of the Lamb in verse 6 in the book of Revelation, right?
Right.
You know, when he starts to open those, it's interesting that John, just before that, was weeping, "Hey, there's no one here to open these. There's no one that's worthy to open the scroll." And right. Here it's full of God's wrath and judgment. That's and yet right. John's weeping that nobody can do it. But yet, of course, Jesus is the only one worthy to do it. But that's showing that All this wrath being poured out during the tribulation and the great, great tribulation period, that is justice. That is, there's like a satisfaction
exactly. In
seeing justice. And like we do, our souls cry out for justice. I think, I know mine does today, watching all the evil in the earth, right?
Exactly.
And so you can't say that, you know, you'd be weeping. I mean, obviously God is not weeping over the Antichrist, the false prophet, and all those who follow him when he's pouring out that kind of anger and wrath.
Right.
And fire and brimstone and everything that's coming on the earth then.
Exactly.
You know, It is not pleasurable for the Lord to see people cast into hell. However, as, you know, we were just talking about, there is a satisfaction in seeing justice carried out. We have to think about that. And throughout the Bible, it tells us that God is a God of justice and judgment, and that he's perfect in his ways, and that his judgments are righteous and good. And Psalms 119:39 says, "For thy judgments are good." Psalms 89:14 says, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne." You know, we all deserve eternal judgment in hell. But because Jesus suffered and died for our sins on the cross, he was buried and then rose from the dead, we can enjoy eternal life in heaven. His gift of salvation is available to everyone, even those who have done the most wicked in the earth.
He
wants them to repent and not go to hell.
That's right. You know, 2 Peter 3:9 says, "He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
And then lastly, 1 Timothy 2:4 through 6 says, "God who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time."
That's right. You know, this demonstrates his abundant mercy toward us. We have the choice to turn from our sins and place our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, or reject him and send ourselves to hell.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to leave us a rating or comment. We value your feedback. Stay in touch and learn more about this ministry by visiting us at soulchoiceministries.org.